Ontario's rural communities and agri-food sector hold tremendous promise for driving economic growth for the entire province and all Ontarians. By distributing the economic development throughout the province, with infrastructure investment in roads, bridges, schools, broadband, energy, and healthcare, we can create new jobs in thriving communities, ease the strain on big city issues of transportation and housing, and most importantly, we can secure a sustainable food system that every Ontarian depends on. A thriving rural economy can spearhead growth for the entire province. Find out more at producingprosperity.ca.
Good afternoon, folks. It's the Agriculture. All right. Good afternoon, folks, and thanks for listening in. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 102.7. It's November the 28th, and it is a cool one again, 27th, sorry. It's kind of cool out there today. I'm not too sure what's going on with this climate, but I guess it's within the norms, and hopefully you found a nice warm place. You're working hard. Thanks so much for just listening in today for our show. We've got another great guest, and with that, I'm going to introduce Peter Sikanda, and I'm going to ask Peter, tell us about this first song you got here. It's called Finger Lickin' Chicken, and that's probably not Kentucky Fried, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. I grew up listening to punk rock, mid-80s punk rock, and that's always been my love, but about 10 years ago, I went down deep into the funk hole, and I've always loved the 60s and 70s funk. So I figured for the Ag Show, I'd bring in Finger Lickin' Chicken.
All right, good choice. I like it already. So let's play this, folks. Just stay locked in, and we'll be right back.
Jen Jones C. from Bosley School of International Affairs in Waterloo, Canada. This is CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. catch podcasts of last shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Communities Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmers with the policy needs of society.
Hi, I'm Tom Woodcock, planning ecologist at the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. Sound FM and the Agriculture Show are helping us promote responsible land management in the region of Waterloo and beyond. Please join us in supporting community radio, and together we can turn the map green.
And thanks for listening in, folks. It's the Agriculture Show. Today's guest is Peter Sakonda. Well, we laid down the funk there in that one, man.
That's
awesome. We're going to look forward to the rest of your song. You very kindly brought a bunch of them, and we're going to play as many as we can. So it's the first part of our show, and we like to get to know our guests in a fun way. And I always like to ask Peter what the first question I like to ask guests is, so how many people are going to be sitting around the Sakonda family Christmas dinner in another month or so? How many people are you?
Well, usually we're back in Vancouver for Christmas, so we're at my lovely wife's parents' place, and there's usually about, close to 8 or 10 around the Christmas table, but this year we'll be staying home for Christmas, and so there'll just be the four of us, my wife Liz and our two kids, Leif and Amelia.
Mm-hmm. And where is home? Where do you hang your hat these days?
In Waterloo.
Waterloo. Yeah. I know where that is. That's just up the street from us here.
But yeah, originally born and raised in Vancouver.
Yes. And do you have any hobbies you want to tell us about? Are you not a rock climber or something, are you, by any chance?
No, I do it. I like it. But
did you rock climb?
I used to. I don't have I don't have a climber's physique.
Right.
I'm not thin and lanky. So no, I tend to focus on music. I like to play and play music in a few bands around town.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And carpentry and. Our house is always keeping me busy. So
you know, we're kind of lucky in KW here. Like, there's a pile of good local musicians. Do you have any favorite venues you'd like to hit? To just there's the big spots like Center Square and the big bands come in. But there are some local spots you might hang out to listen to some local, or more local music. Do you have an interest or time, I guess, to get out?
Well, yeah, time is always
an issue.
Yeah, but yeah. When I do get time, I like to go to the Starlight when possible. Or sometimes there's bands at the Jane Bond or. Even Ethel's every once in a while has music, I think on Fridays, I want to say, but, there's some good local spots, but as always, Waterloo could always use some more places to play, with, the bands I play with, we sometimes struggle with finding venues, so.
It's true. That's a whole part of the business or the fun of being a musician is to find a place where you can play at. Nothing like a regular weekly gig somewhere. Wouldn't that be wonderful to a point?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the Chainsaw has also always been nice to us,
right.
and given us a slot. So, yeah.
Well, I think I'm really glad that you, at least there's a chance and you get out and do some stuff once in a while.
I'm very lucky to be.
Hopefully you'll come back and bring along some MP3s of your band playing. That's all we're all about here at Community Radio here at CKMS.
Well, actually, this Saturday, December 1st, we'll be playing at Harmony Lunch.
Excellent.
With Hank, the band name, with Marcus Starling opening up. And come from Marcus Starling. It's amazing.
Okay. All right, well, let's make sure we mention that further on through the show again, that you have a local gig coming up, and just head out and check that out. So, all right, let's play another song.
Great.
I've got Bobby Bird, and I know you got Soul.
That one's a good one.
Okay, so tell us about this one. Where'd you hear it? Do you got their CD? Tell us about this one.
It's just sort of random funk that I come across, and I mean, it's not rare or anything, but I just really... I really dig it.
All right. Where are you finding this music from? Do you have a chance to even spend half an hour and just check out some new music labels? How do you find all this great stuff?
Actually, there's some... because most of this stuff is old and it's from the 60s and 70s, there's some really good funk blogs out there. They're MP3 blogs that people post, and they talk about the artists and they talk about the music. People who are way down the funk hole, deeper than I've ever been, but know so much about these old funk artists, and it's just that's usually where I get it. And usually they post the MP3 of the song they're singing about it, which is because the copyright is over.
Yes.
You can download it and enjoy it.
Okay, that's good to know. And folks, we are also coming to you from on FM and also from our live feed at our webpage, but we are also on Facebook video live, and that's under the Agriculture Show by Jeff Steger. And guess what? We like that because you can see us there, and well, that can be good or bad. We're looking okay today, I think. Hey, Peter? That's not a bad shot.
That's not a bad shot.
And, but here's the thing.
A good shot.
Yeah. It's a good, here's the thing, folks. If we got a comment section on there, and we'd just love to see you throw a comment on there, ask us a question, anything like, well, we'll get to that in our fourth section of the show. Heck, you can even ask us what's our favorite color. We'll answer that. So with that, we'll play this song. It's I Know You Got Soul, and just stay locked in. We will be right back.
Rolling, I know you got soul. One. Yeah.
Hi, this is Jason Atwater from the North Dumfries Fire Department. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Dave Piper from the North Dumfries Historical Preservation Society. What do I like about community radio? Well, I think it helps create an identity for the local community. And all communities have to have some and need some form of identity to appreciate what's going on around them.
And thanks for listening in and spending a few moments with us today, folks, our lovely listeners, and today's guest, Peter Sikonda. We're at episode 238, and it's November the 27th of 2018. Kind of a cool day, and boy, we've had just a great collection of funk sounds here from Peter. Thanks so much for bringing those. And our first section, we got to know Peter a little bit there, and his family of four won't be merging up with the family of 10 out west this year.
Well, it's not this year.
Not this year. That's a big trip. And now we're in our second segment, and this is where I'd like to ask the guests if they could tell us what it is they do. And with that, Peter, you certainly have the floor. I know you're a researcher. Can you just go ahead? Tell us what you do.
Sure, yeah. So I am a policy analyst at the Ontario Federation of Agriculture in what we call the Farm Policy Research Group. I've been doing that for 10 years now, which is probably the longest I've had a job, one single job. I handle a number of different things at the OFA. We do a lot of different things there, but I handle the farm labor file, which tends to take up a lot of my time. I also deal with climate change and some of the related policies to that, as well as rural internet, and as sort of an offshoot of that, ever-increasing, rapidly-paced industry of precision agriculture. And recently I've picked up a new file, which is kind of exciting for me because it's new, and it's also an emerging issue, is farmer mental health initiatives. In my role as a policy analyst, we used to be called policy researchers because we used to do a lot more primary research, but I still do get to do primary research with our membership of over 38,000 farm families. We tend to do that through electronic surveys now. But that's kind of a fun thing. I get to still, you know, flex the research muscle, and there's that aspect. And we usually do that with a policy So try to get more information on a policy direction to either bring to government or to adopt at the OFA. And so I kind of range from a researcher to policy analyst to advisor to angry letter writer to professional Googler to many different hats at the OFA, and it's good because it's kind of I have a varied group of files that I can keep a handle on, and it's always something different. I'll be on the phone with a farmer talking about a labor issue, and then pick up the phone again and start talking about climate change with a government official. So it's kind of a, you know, it takes some mental effort to swing there, but between the issues, but it can be kind of fun.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff. You wear many hats. I hope our listeners are impressed with the fact that agriculture is not just which is the best pitchfork. There's a lot of stuff in behind that needs to be looked at and policy came up with, and that's based on as best a collection of the facts and figures as one as possible, and that's your forte, and I'm glad you've come in to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and I don't come from a farm, so I think I bring a bit of a different perspective to things sometimes. To the OFA, I grew up in Vancouver, went to UBC, University of British Columbia, to do my undergraduate in soil science, and which was in the Faculty of Agriculture, and that's where I sort of... My love of agriculture grew, and then I worked overseas for a bit, and came back to Canada and decided to do my master's. Mm-hmm. My experience from overseas was very much folks were looking for the next best technology, like just give us the newest seeds, the newest fertilizer, just give us the newest technology. And I could really see that they weren't maximizing their current resources or abilities. So I ended up at the University of Guelph in what used to be called Rural Extension Studies, which is now called Capacity Development and Extension. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the social science balance to my science undergraduate. So and I did my master's here in Ontario with chicken farmers.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. You know what, that's a lot of work, and I just want to key in on an interesting thing. People like yourself are just with your, you're not a farm kid, and if people like yourself just have a really great and honest assessment of this field they've found themselves in, agriculture, because those of us been in agriculture for a while, and the majority are, they certainly carry along a strong culture rather than necessarily, it's really strong in the culture of it rather, and there's other aspects to it, and you know, I think the agriculture is served for not only the farmers but for the public when individuals like yourself are part of it. That's my opinion anyway. Then
And it's I've enjoyed my time so far working in agriculture, and I actually get to use my master's training, which is I think rare for a lot, but I picked up the labor file when I first came to the OFA, and I immediately recognized how much sort of capacity development is necessary around that. That there's a lot to know as an employer, and sort of trying to take the language of government, the language of regulation, and translate it into what does that mean for me as a farm employer was a fun challenge. I really enjoyed it. I still enjoy it. It's an ongoing thing. In fact, Thursday I'll be giving a presentation on farm labor and some of the regulatory challenges. So
So you're in the office busy working away, but then you just mentioned you go and speak on occasion to groups.
Yeah, I ride a keyboard, not a tractor, but sometimes I get out to speak to the farmers and
you have some other travel opportunities too. I think occasionally you get to go off to seminars or other information.
Yep.
Getting get-togethers.
Yeah, so I've often been to the USDA conference, Outlook conference in Washington, D.C.
Well, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, so I've done that one for a number of years. Otherwise, being agriculture, I end up in the exciting metropolis of Columbus, Ohio, or places like that. But I've found myself going to Ottawa a lot. Most recently was to present in front of the Standing Committee for Agriculture at the House of Commons, which was a interesting experience. It was kind of exciting because that's not what I usually do. I'm usually in Toronto presenting at Queen's Park, but presenting to the MPs on Parliament Hill was fun. That was on the Farmer Mental Health Initiative. So. Mm.
Well, you know, I've seen that on TV. This is a committee, a subcommittee at the House of at our Parliament in Ottawa, and I'm just thinking there's suits and ties and all the questions. Yeah. I
wore a suit. It's,
oh my gosh! I hope you feel a bit more comfortable in our humble studios here.
I do.
But what a great experience is to bring some stories and facts and figures about agriculture to the public in that certainly more formal way.
Yeah.
Very nice. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing pretty good here. Oh, yeah, we better get to play another song here because we got a couple more segments to go. Mind you, we do have lots of time to do the show, but we want to make sure we cover all the stuff, and then we'll see if we got some more time just to yak or whatever the heck. So,
yeah.
All right, I'm thinking let's play song number 3 of your great collection here. Now, I hope I got this right. Now, we just played Bobby Bird. I know you got Soul. So we're going to play Lionel Robinson, Stepping Out.
Yeah.
That sound good?
This is a favorite. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about Mr. Lionel Robinson, please.
I didn't know I was going to have to talk about the music. This is just a favorite one of mine.
No, that's fine.
I like to put on and get the house jumping.
Do you think, do you remember, I hate to ambush you on that one, but I'm wondering, do you remember kind of what time these guys were doing their thing? When was Lionel an artist? Was this, the funk was, when was funk? That was like James Brown, right?
Around, but yeah,
it's still around, but.
60s. This stuff tends to come from 60s and early 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know...
I'll look it up during the break and we can talk
about it. Well, actually, we could. What we could do, and then I got you... I always put my guests to work. If you wanted to, you could go on that weather web browser there beside the Radio Waterloo tab and type in Lionel Robinson and we'll talk. I'm sure there'd be a wiki page on the guy there somewhere,
I'm sure.
And then that'll be a good start. So let's do that. So, okay, I'm going to play a song, and if you all want to just maybe look at our Facebook Live and give us a question, we really appreciate it. If you listen to us on CKMS 102.7, hello, and also with us on live feed, that's great. And we'll come back and talk some more with Peter Seconda. We'll see you shortly.
You know, brother and sister, there are some things a man gotta do. No matter how it seems to others. When he carried that load, that heavy load to handle it and pay. Come the end of the week, he has to let it all hang out. No matter what the people might say. Dig, I tell you, there's nothing like a neighborhood. A little individual sound that makes you feel so good when you're stepping out. Hey, yeah, baby, baby. Look at that. Windows with faith peeking over window sill. Looking at the girl that gives me all my thrill. That goes the sun being chased by the moon. Another night begun.
Hi, this is Peter Seconda from the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946. on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of the show and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community Radio Broadcasts promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in Waterloo Region. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
That's awesome, Peter.
It's true.
I know. Yeah. And I'm just so glad people like yourself come in today and just help us fully promote and explain that mandate of bringing together the interests of our urban listeners, hello urban listeners, with our farm population and rural populations. And so people like yourself, Peter, it's just I'm just really grateful you came in today.
No problem. I think you've been trying to get me on this show for about 5 years now.
Well, and that's okay, because you know what? You're a busy man, and I always appreciate that you thought you might get in one day, and you're here. That's
and
great.
Here I am, yeah.
I know. It's the best, and I hope it's working out well for you here. I'm having a lot of fun here listening to this, all this music and your comments about your craft and what you do. Don't want to forget. So did you have a chance to pick around and see who the heck Lionel Robinson is? I've seen you scratching through your device there.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Okay.
I know there's lots of information out there, but I can't dig it up.
Yeah,
in the 2 minutes of the song. So
well, we'll leave it to our good listeners. If you like that song, that was Lionel Robinson, and when we do podcast this show, it'll come up on the radiowaterloo.ca site with those song names on it, and you can, like most of us, just Google that to your heart's content and find out a little bit more about that artist. Alrighty, we are now in section number 3 of our show, and at this part, I'd like to ask our guests, so what do you know about agriculture you would tell someone on the street? So like, let's just imagine someone walks in our door here at the old Beamer Box factory on right up street and says, looks at you and says, Peter, what do you know about agriculture? What would you tell them? Would you tell them that brown eggs come from brown chicken?
if someone asked me about agriculture, I'd probably start with... And not to be rude, but I'd probably want to say that thing that you think you know is true is probably wrong. It's great that people are interested in agriculture.
That's
it really
true.
Is.
It really is. I agree.
I feel like I think I've even written that to government a number of times that I don't think for decades people have been this interested in food and where it comes from and how it's grown and how it's raised, but there's also a lot of information out there that is not necessarily correct, or it is someone who's maybe doing something that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's or it's someone essentially trying to gain market share by confusing the situation. So
mm-hmm.
I've learned the lesson maybe not to tell people at dinner parties what I do because people are so interested. They start jumping on me and, well, is it true that dot dot dot? And I'm like, well, where do you want to start? And that's one of the real challenges, I think, for agriculture is that there is a lot to know, and sort of when people ask a simple question, you have to say, well, let's step back. 10,000 steps,
right.
and I'll get to you answering your question after I've given you this 2 hours of background on why, right? And it can be very difficult. I'm sure if you ask any farmer on Twitter, it can be very difficult to answer or respond to some of those questions or accusations that people who care about agriculture but maybe don't care to know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't fault people for that. I just know that it's a challenge. I mean, they're interested and that's great. They may have the wrong information, but having that wrong information is maybe not their fault. It might be their fault if they choose not to accept it or change their mm-hmm. perspective on things when given the right information from maybe somebody that knows what they're talking about. So like one thing that happened to me, I had taken my children to an indoor playground, and so I was just kicking back watching them play. I think it was last winter. I was sitting next to a table, and these two people were talking, and I wasn't really paying attention, but then I heard the word Monsanto, and so my ears picked up. Yeah. And I was like, oh, let's see where this goes. All I caught was the woman saying, well, who's that? What's Monsanto? And the other woman said, well, it's they put pesticides in your food or something like that. And I had to bite my tongue because I was like, oh, it's not. Then she said, I just want to do the right thing. My head kind of exploded that I was like, oh man, that's so true, that people really, at the end of the day, they just want to do the right thing. They're stuck in a sea of information, or even just little snippets of information that are either not true, or little bits of it are true, but they're exaggerated, or, and so to put together the complete picture from little points is very difficult. And so again, I say I don't fault people for maybe having core beliefs on agriculture, but most of the time when people have tried to tell me something, I say, well, that's not necessarily true, or it's an exaggeration, or it's from production systems that we don't have in Canada, or levels of intensity that we don't have in Canada. Most people don't even know that we have supply management in Canada. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do now after the recent NAFTA revisions, but most people just associate it with the increased costs and don't sort of realize that it can bring stability to the farm income. So, mm-hmm.
I thinking back to, did you ever experience that aha moment, even if you were able, took time to explain to someone? Occasionally you get fortunate and people say, oh, I didn't know that. Thank you. Can you think of an aha moment that?
I still play Ultimate in town, and I was chatting with a few people on my Ultimate team, and they were asking me about chicken production, and I sort of said, well, and they were asking, about what might be considered abuse of animals, and I sort of, as quickly as possible, explain the process by which an animal that is sick or abused or looks like it's not happy will come to the processing facility and likely be condemned, and for which the farmer gets no money for that. And so I, not that I want to explain it from a dollars and cents necessarily, but like that a farmer will not abuse an animal just because it's they want to waste money. It's just like I said. Well, these are businesses, right? They're not doing this for fun. Mm-hmm. I hope they're doing it for fun, but it is still a business at the end of the day. And if they're not making any money off of the products they're producing or growing, why would they do that? And I've from my research, my master's research, I had farmers tell me straight away that my job is to make those animals as comfortable as possible, because essentially that makes increases feed conversion, and it means they're not losing money, right? And so from a purely dollars and cents standpoint, why a farmer would not abuse an animal or make have a sick or injured animal, and the people I was talking to, it makes no sense, and the people kind of went, I guess I hadn't really thought of it that way. That
it's funny you should say that. I have my own little story in that, but go ahead. I know.
Sorry. That was sort of one of those like, okay, I think I think it was more that people had said I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective. That of course it makes sense for someone to keep an animal healthy and happy, because if you're putting money into feed that goes into that animal, and that animal's not converting it into the thing that you want to sell, which is the meat, then it doesn't really make much business sense. So, so I think that's where I'm interested in the rural mental health initiatives, in that recognizing that some of these issues around where there may be animal suffering or something like that is, it may end up being a mental health issue, and that is needs to be addressed. And so it's not that people are out there abusing animals for joy. I mean, it's
from time to time, a disaster strikes agriculture in Ontario, which could be a fire or could be an individual who's suffering, can't do their jobs as usual, and there's animals are being hurt. And that's a good connection. You know what? Now I think of it. So Danielle Stewart is, I had her on as a guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after last year's convention.
Oh, great.
And it's just great. And you can go back and listen to her. Great selection of music. It's just about as fun as yours. It was super. And so she was also back at this year's annual general meeting for the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. I didn't make that event. I know last year it was packed, but I think you had a bigger room this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we were standing room the first time.
I know.
Which is great sort of confirmation that people are interested and that there's something needs to be done here. So, and I guess another part of my job that's great is that I get to work with organizations like WSPS or Workplace Safety and Prevention Services and a lot of the commodity organizations and who've got great staff and we can compare notes on issues and they can keep me in line.
Yeah, that's good. They have a chance to touch base with other professionals and fill in all the blanks that you don't know with these other guys in the way, and then come up with a better product altogether.
Yeah,
good deal.
And so I think I think it's great that people are paying attention to where food comes from and are interested. And I think it's also great that that farmers are increasingly taking to Twitter and to social media to help fill in some of those blanks, recognizing that if they don't, someone else will, and it may not be the right information. I'm sure it's a challenge though for those who are engaging with the public, because again, there's a lot to know.
Well, you know, I always take my hats off to those farmers who sell at either in a community shared agriculture format or at a farmer's market, because they are the spokesperson for agriculture, and the big production guys, some guys at that local fair are your spokespersons. Because people are reassured by face-to-face, what happened here, and that person answering it.
So there's the public-facing side of things as well. I work a lot with government and a lot with initiatives that they might be coming out with. And often the challenge is that agriculture has its own ministry, but most of our issues are around legislation coming out of other ministries, like the Ministry of Labor or finance or things like that. That we find ourselves having to I don't want to say educate, but probably educate government on what agriculture is and why certain initiatives that they might be proposing simply don't work for our sector.
We are
as a sector quite unique, and if you take a blanket approach to legislation, it's going to either hurt agriculture or cause some real problems.
That's a funny thing. It gets me thinking, Peter. So the agriculture does have its own ministry. Like how many? That's just amazing.
It is. Yeah, we are.
But the downside is that means you're not always in. If there was like a bit of agriculture in all the other departments, would the end result be better or worse? Because you correctly, I think it's good to keep an administrative agriculture food, but I can also see where it's a problem, because now you got to reach all those other guys who might not normally have that under their mandate. And
it's true, But I do know that the Ministry of Agriculture, they do work hard to try and communicate with the other ministries when there's policy proposals that will impact our sector. So
yeah, good stuff. Well, we're just having a great time, Peter. We're going to play another song, buddy. Is it Carl Holmes and the Commanders? That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to miss. We move one up the list here. Next one after that is, there's Jimmy Norman and Mensa. Falcon Sling. There's so many. But Carl Holmes, let's play this one next. What do you know about Carl Holmes?
Nothing.
Okay. We'll just play them, and you folks just warm up your coffee. We'll be right back. Guest today is Peter Sakanda. It's episode 238. And just thanks for listening in. See you in a short bit.
Hi, you're listening to The Agricultural Show on Sound FM 102.7, CKMS.
Hi, this is Janet Horner from Whitfield Farms in Malmer, Ontario. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
And this is Paul Schultz here at CKMS Radio 102.7 on the FM dial. You are listening to The Agricultural Show.
Isn't that great? Do you feel like doing something like that?
Yeah.
All right.
This is Peter Sakana, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show. How's that?
That's great.
All right.
Do it again, but say on CKMS.
Oh, right, okay. This is Peter Sakanda, and you're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're gonna be on the radio now.
Peter Sakanda. No, I won't do that.
Oh yeah, no.
I have a hard time listening to radio now.
Let that creative juice flow. I just love that stuff. I'll use that one. That's a good one.
Maybe we'll do this offline.
Well, we're having a great time, folks. Just thanks for listening in today. Peter Sakanda is the guest. You can tell we're just having a real hoot here. I'm putting Peter to work. He's in charge of our video switching, and he's been doing the song stuff here. We've just now come up on our fourth segment of the show, which is just sort of like, you know, hey, I wish we would have talked about that. Issues came up. And so I'll just start off with that kind of a flavor here, and just by basically just kind of reviewing what we've done so far. We talked about Peter and his family and Christmas, and are you guys going to, do you have a Christmas tradition when you're home? Do you go out and cut down the tree or something, or go skating?
Not necessarily. Again, we're usually at my wife's family for Christmas morning, and it's her mother's birthday. So the tradition is that we do a big Christmas morning birthday, which is always kind of fun.
Yeah.
She pretends she's always surprised, and so it's fun.
You have to make a big deal of it because those individuals that are born close to Christmas sort of get ripped off. These people want to have their Christmas present matched up with their their birthday.
I think she does okay.
Yeah, think so too. I guess like most of us, they get to learn where you're sitting, where you're fitting in the scheme of things, I guess. So we talked about the family stuff, and you got the band. Tell us about that gig that's coming up. We won't want to forget about that. That's soon. Playing at the
Harmony Lunch.
Harmony Lunch, right.
December 1st, this Saturday coming up.
Oh, wow, good.
Mm-hmm. With Hank and Marcus Starling will be opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be, I think, an early show. I think it's actually going to start at 8:30, which
that's cool.
Which is fine.
So maybe that's early for you, buddy. That's fine with me.
Well, yeah, I know. It's a bit shockingly early for me. But if you are thinking of coming, don't come at 10 expecting to hear some.
That's true.
No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I love any chance I get to go play music. So, yeah.
And you're busy raising a family, so you don't quite have the luxury of hitting every spot in town. But it's really a credit to you that makes some time to do a few things like that.
I'm very lucky that I'm in my 40s and I still get to play music.
Yeah, so. It's true. It's a good deal.
And have small children, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be musicians, too? Do they enjoy playing with Daddy?
I don't think they'll have any choice but to be musicians. Yeah.
Well, that's good news. And
yeah.
People are usually better off if they with a well-rounded personality, which music was a big part of that galaxy of
things. Yeah, I think you would rarely find anyone who ever says, I wish I hadn't learned how to play a musical instrument. So
that's really true. Yeah, you know, it's true. Very true. And then we moved on to our next topic. Our segment was about what you're doing, and not only are you doing pulse research, you're riding you're riding a desk rather than riding a tractor.
Yeah.
That you're in your capacity as an analyst, you actually get to speak to other people, and then go listen to those people speak to you about what to do, and then try to find that consensus amongst. Couple of different disciplines and involve agriculture. Have I done that justice?
Yeah, pretty close. I think, I do enjoy going to speak to farm groups when I get the chance. They might not like what I have to say, because often I'm talking about farm labor issues and or climate change, and trying to explain either our former cap and trade program, which was very complex and difficult to navigate, or farm labor legislation, which again is very complex and difficult to navigate. I find it an interesting challenge, but it's not always something people want to hear. I know from the farmer side, it feels like it's this sort of thing where the attitude is, well, that's applies to someone else. You know, I'm a farmer. I like labor legislation is not my thing, and so I do find that I have to. Say no, this does apply to you, and you need to get up to speed with the legislation so that more of it doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that tends to be part of what I do at the OFA, is bridge that gap between farmers and government, and try to do some of that interpretation of what government's saying through legislation. And then to them saying, you know, hey, slow down, this piece of legislation or this policy you're proposing might unintendedly have an impact on the farm sector. And then when I go out and I talk to farmers, I find myself saying, you know, come on, hurry up, get up to speed with the legislation, or there'll be more of it coming. And so I think, again, it's all very complex, and I don't fault anyone for not having 10 years of regulatory navigation that I have, and so I try to use that 10 years of experience to communicate what needs to be done to farm employers. And the same thing with climate change or precision agriculture or mental health initiatives, just sort of take what farmers are telling me and bring that to government, or take what government's telling me and bring that to farmers. So. Mm-hmm.
It's a big task, because you know, you have to bring the message both ways, upstream to the powers that be and downstream to the membership, and to get some consistency and well aware of the pros and cons of each decision.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good deal.
No, it's been fun. I've enjoyed my time at the OFA for sure.
So when you were taking your education, did you have to take that part in public speaking and getting along with a group of people, or is that a learned skill on the job?
Learned skill on the job, I'd say. But you know, at the University of Guelph, they do a pretty good job of getting us up in front of the class to do presentations and that sort of thing. I've actually always sort of enjoyed public speaking a bit.
That's a good thing, because you want to be able to, you know, you're communicating with music, so you want to, that's an overlapping skill set.
Yeah,
there.
I guess. A bit of a performer in me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good news on that part there. That's another interesting part about the, what you would tell people about agriculture, what your job is. Anything else you come to mind about that? Obviously, there's so much to talk about.
It's how much you want to get into the weeds on the radio. But,
true. But I think, let's say something like this, there's agriculture, and then there's, if you're so inclined, you can find out more about it and be assured that things are as best can be, and none of your concerns are illegitimate. But this is, but it's also true that this is where it fits in the scheme of things.
Yeah. Well, I think again, there are a lot of great resources for people. There's Farm and Food Care does a good job of communicating farm animal care and farming practices. Like I said, there's a lot of information out there, and there's opportunities to ask a farmer as well. And I encourage people to do so. And I think on the sort of other side of that, I guess,
sure.
I would encourage farmers to listen to some of the concerns of the public. And even though you want to say you want to grit your teeth and say that's just patently wrong, try to understand the perspective of where they're coming from, and that, you know, people are not necessarily out to get you. They just want to. It's a lot in agriculture to understand. And you know, people who may say we have a broken food system don't necessarily understand that we have the food system we have now for a reason.
It's pretty darn good.
In many ways, it's the result of people not wanting to pay more for food, right? And so, you know, the farm sector looks for efficiencies and finds them in specializing in. And that's where we are now.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. If you're a consumer and you have questions, there's nothing wrong with your questions. We encourage questions. We like that. It's a great chance to tell you the good news.
Yeah.
So with that, don't be afraid to, with the frontline guys, of course, or obviously the guys at the farmers markets, they talk about agriculture rate because they generally tend to be the producers of it. But there's numerous groups out there that'll... You can call the commodity groups. They have info lines, and you can say, "Hey, what's going on with you guys growing that corn? And what are you guys doing with those chickens and stuff like that?" So don't be afraid to ask. Find out. We're right here. We'll talk to you.
Good stuff.
All right. Okay. Let's play another song before we do our final out and out thing. And then
all right.
I think you brought so much good music. You know what I'm thinking about doing, Peter? I think. After we get done our next spoken part, I'm just going to play all these songs right through. And before we do that, just for the heck of it, why don't we just mention these here guy other song before we play the... Okay, the upcoming song is Jimmy Norman, Gangsters of Love. That's good for you?
Yeah.
Because...
I found this one... I heard this one for the first time on some record my sister had, and I remember playing it when I was a kid and just being like, "Oh man, I love this."
Okay, when we keep playing, like we got 2 hours to go, but our show, our spoken part, just about wrapped up here. You're gonna hear stuff from who's E.T. Minch and his Tempo's band? Another good one,
that's Roberto. Good one. What's that? that's another good one. I love it.
Okay, Hook and Sling by Eddie Bowe.
Yep.
And remember how that came into your possession? How'd you find that one?
Wow. Random.
Excellent. Jim Brown, is that the James Brown?
No.
Okay.
No, that one's a reggae tune, I think.
And Soul Ska, 196 times.
Yeah.
Who makes up these names? That's crazy. And the last one that we'll leave playing on.
Well, the Villains is a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll. Yeah.
The Villains were a Vancouver band, I think, from the 80s, ska band.
Okay, so we'll let those songs play when Peter and I wrap up our spoken part. We got a few more minutes to go with that, but first things first, we're going to listen to, I guess, Jimmy Norman, Gangster Love, Parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, here we go, folks. We'll be right back. Just push my head, they're gonna beat on me.
should have known that I'm very deep voice.
Hi, I'm Marcia Ruby from Alternatives Journal. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the Internet. Catch podcasts of the shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us.
Okay, we're back, and once again, folks, dear listeners, thanks for listening in today for the Agricultural Show, episode number 238. Peter Secunda has been the guest today, and a lot of songs, and Pete, he's great. He brought some whole whack of songs, and after we're done our spoken part, we're just going to play them. We talked about them briefly there before we played that last song. So this is one of the best fun parts of the show here, I like, and first of all, Peter, tell us one more time about that show coming up at the Harmony.
Oh yeah, Harmony Lunch on December 1st, playing with Hank, with Marker Starling opening. It'll be a really fun show.
Okay, so pop over there, folks. Maybe even grab one of their famous burgers. Harmony Lunch has got a great tradition in our community.
Yeah, I haven't actually played there before, so I don't know if the kitchen will be open or how they're going to. I haven't even been to a show there, so I don't know if they'll just clear all the tables out. But it'll be fun. We're going to make it fun anyway.
It'll be fun. It'll be a hot time in the town on December 1st. Pop over to Harmony Lunch and listen to Peter and the band and the other guy there. What's his name? I forgot.
Marcus Starling.
All right. The last question I'd like to ask my guest, and it's just kind of a fun wrap-up thing. I'll ask Peter. Peter, what are you doing the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks and 2 months?
Oh.
2 years, 20 years, you want to go that far?
Yeah.
Let's start it. What are you doing next 2 hours?
2 hours?
Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned, I have a presentation on Thursday, which probably answers your next 2 days.
Okay.
I should probably get started on that. It's the life of a policy analyst. I'll get it done just in time. But it's something I want to put some thought into how to communicate some of these labor issues, and so take my time with it. But that's what I'll be doing this afternoon. Nothing entirely exciting other than working on a presentation. But so it goes.
Uh-huh. part of the job. You have a multi-function, you have a lot of multi-skills you got to have for your job.
Yeah. And then next 2 days, well, I guess giving the presentation, and then getting ready for the show on Saturday.
You're so busy. Where's the presentation going to be held at?
It's going to be in Grimsby. Okay. Not sure. It's with the Agri-Food Management Institute is putting it on. And it's for producers and farm employers.
And then back to Kitchener for the big show at the Harmony.
Yeah, I went and bought some new drum heads. So I don't think I've changed them in about 10 years. So so break those in.
It sounds like you're looking forward to the evening out, and it sounds like it'd be pretty darn good. So.
Yeah, yeah. And 2 months, we've got. A little jaunt down to New Zealand, which should be a good time, and then 2 years. I barely know my next 2 days. That's next true. 2 years, hopefully, still playing a lot of music and coming up with some great new tunes and traveling lots and all that. So, yeah,
very nice. You really want to throw the fishing line out there from 30,000 feet and say in 20 years?
20 years?
Oh, my. Huh? 20 years, you'd still be a young guy.
I don't know about that. playing music in the seniors' home.
That's a good deal. I'd come and listen to you. I'll be in the seniors' home by then, I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm not that old, but...
I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
20 years from now?
There's just endless possibilities. Who knows what that media? Who knows where tech's going to be at?
I'm going to be an astronaut, living in space.
Would you, if you could go up in a spaceship? Would you go up in a spaceship? Like,
oh, the, heartbeat.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a question. Yeah.
I know. Well, you know, you just might make it. I'm going to run out of it. Like, you know, the only regret I have is I didn't make $20 million bucks cash, because that's what that guy from Seoul, the Cirque du Soleil, paid to go on on that jaunt up there.
Yeah.
I got to wait till the cheap seats, like the $2,000 ones. I think I'm going to run out of time before. But who knows?
Good luck.
But I'm with you, brother. If I could get up there, I think that would be a real experience, wouldn't it? My goodness, see the world from a distance where it's round and the blackness of space and the colors.
I'm a bit of a space fanatic.
Yeah,
my cousin and I drove down to Kentucky to watch the eclipse last summer. Summer before last. Sorry.
What a great project!
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you should come on this other show. But I'll tell you about later. It's Golden Record. What would you put on a spaceship going to the end of time?
Oh wow!
I don't know. Kind of fun, eh?
Probably E.T. Menza and his Tempos Band, which is the next song.
You're getting awfully creative here. This is great. All right, so with that, we covered the 20 years and did pretty good there. We're gonna wind up the show here. Come out and see Pete and the band playing at Harmony Lunch this December the 1st. And with that, Peter, I just want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I should have come on 5 years ago when you first asked me.
When your next visit, we won't wait 5 years for your next visit.
Sure,
how's that?
Sounds good.
All right, so with that, folks, we're going to go off air for our audio part, like our voice part here, and I'm going to keep on playing on the stage computer all the next half dozen songs or what Peter had brought. And with that, I'm looking forward to seeing you all in 6 days and 22 hours for episode number 239. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And if you're a farmer, thank a consumer. And with that, we'll see you later. Bye for now.